This is All Access Nerds, issue 18. This is Ryan.
And I am Nick.
The one and only.
That's right. Well, there's several Nicks in the world.
There are several Nicks, yes. Yeah. Just like there are several Ryans, but we're the best ones. So.
I like to think so.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, as we've done a couple things since last issue. Went to a Comic-Con, read some comics, read some gaming stuff.
We talked about the Comic-Con last issue.
Well, we talked about Kokomo-Con. We didn't get a chance to talk about Fantasticon from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I think it was season 4, episode 10, or episode 11. The Fantasticon is a Comic-Con that actually travels around, kind of. The name, at least, travels around. I don't think that there is a van or some sort of, you know, bus that actually travels, but there is a, the name travels around, at least, the brand of Fantasticon. So the next one, I think, is this weekend, or it was last weekend. It will be in Michigan somewhere, so won't be going to that one.
But last weekend was the Fort Wayne one, that's the one we went to.
Yeah, Fantasticon. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So it wasn't last weekend.
No, no. So I was saying, because this is Sunday.
Yes.
This weekend.
Oh.
Or next weekend. So,
I'm confused.
Time travel. It can do that.
It confused me.
But yeah, I liked it a lot. We'll go into that a little bit more. But yeah, it's just one of the big things that we've partaken in since the last issue.
Now, you partook in it 2 days. I only went for
one. Yeah, I did a 2-day pass. It was really cheap. Great deal. Because it's Fort Wayne, it's a smaller Comic-Con. You know, you're not going to see those kind of prices at San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con, nonetheless. But for Fantasticon in Fort Wayne, pretty good deals.
Was it fantastic for you?
It was fantastic. Yeah, I liked it a lot. So, yeah. Sweet. Yeah. So, we'll go into that a little bit more later on.
Okay.
But
let's talk about some comics.
Let's go into comics.
I'll let you go first.
Okay, awesome. I've done some more reading, finally. Catching up a little bit more. Still got, you know, Justice League and Aquaman, Flash and Action Comics and Superman. I still got to catch up on those a lot, but it's a process, and I am slowly, and Green Arrow, slowly but surely chipping away at it. But this week I can talk about, I got 3 issues that I kind of just want to highlight real quick. First of all, Wonder Woman, her 75th anniversary special size super issue came out.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Her special super size. Like, where's he going?
Yes, the issue, yes. It came out, and I think that's what it's called. Cause it's a collection of a lot of different stories, and some were good, some were okay, some were meh. But, nonetheless, I think it's an okay pickup. Like, I think that there is at least some stories. I can't remember. I want to say it was probably 5 or so different stories, maybe more. It was probably more than that. But I really, really liked the art. There was some of the art that was in there for different stories. So they do different artists and different writer for each story and different topic as well, different timelines as well. They had one where she's, you know, just starting out as a Wonder Woman, one that she's a bit older. So all kinds of different aspects of the Wonder Woman character. And I think it's a good pickup, at least. If you're wanting to just download it digitally and read it, if you're a big Wonder Woman fan, sure, go for it. But if you're like, what's Wonder Woman all about? I don't necessarily think this is a good one to pick up to try out as like a first read of Wonder Woman.
So you should be a fan?
Yeah, I would say. If you want a collector aspect of it, yeah, go ahead and buy it. It's a big issue and lots of good art in it. I like it a lot. Pretty good cover as well. I think the cover was done by Jim Lee, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, there was some cool, like there was one little short story, because they're a collection of short stories. Brand new, to my opinion, or to my knowledge, brand new, each story. It was one that was like watercolors, and it was really well done. Pastel colors and all that stuff. But yeah, it was done with watercolor. Sometimes it can work well with the story, and I think for that one it did. So, Wonder Woman, yes. I like it. It's good. I would say, if you're going to think about it, picking it up, if you're a fan, I would definitely suggest it. The next one, Vigilante. I know I heard it was coming out, and I didn't get a chance to pick it up, but you actually had it.
Yep.
So I read it there, and I think you handed me, you're like, here you go, I'm not a fan.
I was disappointed.
Yeah?
I was
devastated. Did you read the whole thing, though?
No.
Okay.
I got disenchanted by it. I don't know why. It just wasn't. The artwork didn't appeal to me. The storyline, I just couldn't seem to grasp it. Maybe it's because I get turned off by the artwork.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll revisit it. Just I need some time.
Yeah. I see a short stack. Well, I see a rather decently stack over there of comics. So
at least 2 weeks worth.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so it makes sense why you would kind of prioritize your reading this time. But it was okay. In my opinion, I would want more content. Like the art, like you said, it's different. It's more gritty. It's trying to fit that theme of vigilante and like, you know, the urban and street kind of level of villain or hero, anti-hero person he is or she is. So yeah, I don't want to spoil it too much, but, it was okay. They had room for growth. It was all right. I wouldn't say it's the best to pick up issue number one. Maybe if you get 1, 2, and 3, and maybe you can kind of read them all, or the trade paperback, because eventually they'll come out with that. I think it's a limited issue, limited series.
Well, I think it's 6.
6, yeah. Okay, that sounds about right. And yeah, DC's going to do some of that.
One of 6. I'll pick them all up just because it's vigilante.
Yeah.
But it may be in the back of the box, and that's where it'll stay forever.
Yeah. In my opinion, I think there was too many questions and not enough content. Like I've talked about Wonder Woman, especially her New 52 title. I loved it because, like, each issue, like, the story progressed. There was stuff you got out of it from previous issues of questions that were answered. With this one, it was just a lot of questions. Like, okay, what happened to this person? And why is this person dead? And who was that person? Like, it was just a lot thrown at you. Granted, it's issue one, that's gonna happen. But you would expect some of the answers or some of the questions to be answered in that issue. And it wasn't.
It was very disappointing.
Yeah.
Especially being a vigilante fan.
Yeah.
I had my expectations. Old school fan. Easy now. I had my expectations way up high.
Yeah.
You know, and I was devastated. It was disappointing.
Yeah. I would say, trade paperback probably. I don't know if it's the best one issue. Pick it up to start reading it. Maybe as the story progresses, it's going to be pretty good as a collective whole. But as a single issue on its own, unfortunately, it does not stand up.
Yeah, trade paperback, borrow it from a friend.
Yeah,
like or, I did. Or wait till it comes out at the library.
Yes, years. I've done that.
All right, so let's move on.
Yeah, so Vigilante, I'm sorry, but no. The next one, Teen Titans, will be the last one I'm going to highlight. I read a few others, but I just want to kind of narrow it down because I see got a rather large list there. So.
Well, I can share the wealth on them.
There you go. But yeah, Teen Titans. You had mentioned that you didn't really like it too much. It was kind of exactly what I thought it was going to be. I was expecting there was some action in it, which is cool. But I was kind of expecting a little bit more because of, like, you know, it's the Teen Titans and it's 4 heroes, kids, people that got kidnapped by Robin in the first issue or in the Rebirth special issue, because this was the first issue. But in the Rebirth special issue, they were kidnapped by Robin because he wanted to try and prove to them that he's better and that he can do it and that as a team that they can work together well. And they came to that realization, but I don't know if it's going to be an easy team up. I don't think that they were all too excited about it. They were definitely mad at the fact that they were kidnapped, and they came at him a little bit, which was cool. And he had some kind of like random creature. I can't remember in that Rebirth special if he had this creature with him, but in this issue he had like this backup, like it was like a giant wildebeest Sasquatch thing. I forgot the name of it, but it was to kind of help with the muscle, because Beast Boy can typically turn into a gorilla and Starfire usually has some super strength and whatnot. So yeah, so it was good. I liked it. I'm a huge Teen Titans fan, so I'm gonna keep with it and hopefully it picks up and is pretty good. I'm glad that the villain, at least at first, isn't going to be Trigon. Like, so many times they keep bringing in Trigon, aka Raven's dad, as the villain, and it gets weird. There's all these demons and supernatural stuff, and it's like Teen Titans, they're superheroes. It doesn't make sense for them to always be facing this demon person. So, I'm glad they're not going with that. funny thing is, they're actually going with another parent of one of the Teen Titans, Damian Wayne, Ra's al Ghul, grandparent, but still. Yeah, Ra's al Ghul is going to be the main villain, at least in this first story arc. I don't know about afterwards, but at least in the first story arc, it's going to be Ra's al Ghul. And the cool thing that I saw at the end, spoiler alert, Ra's al Ghul created his own Teen Titans. He named it something else. I forgot what he named it, but they have a name as well. And I didn't recognize all of them, but I recognized, I think her name's Cheshire, maybe, or something. She was in Young Justice. She's somebody's sister and somebody else's daughter. So there's all kinds of relative and family issues going on. But it was cool to see her again, because I haven't seen her in the comics forever. She might have been a Deathstroke comic, because I think there's some relation there or connections, but haven't read Deathstroke for a while. And yeah, I'm interested to see like a Teen Titans versus a, you know, Ra's al Ghul's Teen Titans. So should be interesting. Definitely going to keep reading it. At least 6 to 7 issues, probably more, because I like Teen Titans a lot. They're pretty cool. And especially when they swap out their rosters ever so often, it keeps it interesting. Bringing in new characters, all the good stuff. So yeah, Teen Titans, I would suggest it. And I would suggest reading the Rebirth special, because it leads right into it. Like, that should have been issue 1, and this should have been issue 2. Because, yeah, it was, you would be really confused if you didn't read the Rebirth special as to why they were all so mad at him. But, so yeah, those are the three that I just wanted to highlight, tackle this week. What about you?
Well, I'm going to segue in off of your Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Into Superman issue number 10. And this is the first chapter of In the Name of the Father, part 1.
Yes.
And on the cover, we see Batman and Robin, who's his son. And we see Superman and Superman's son.
Superboy.
Who's taking up the mantle of Superboy.
Yes.
And in this issue, Robin captures Superboy.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Capturing everybody.
He captured everybody because he doesn't feel that these beings, these aliens with powers, should be allowed to go unchecked. That they should be tested and trained. And he's getting a lot of, you know, feelings from his dad.
Yeah.
It's really good. Of course, they kind of become friends, and they kind of don't become friends. And they start fighting, and then it's a decent issue. I liked it. I'm really enjoying the Superman title. It's one of the few DC books since the Rebirth that's holding my attention.
Awesome.
Going back to issue 8 and 9 of Superman, Superman and his son get stuck on an island where they're having to fight all kinds of monsters and stuff.
Hmm.
And they team up, and it's good. It's a good father and son storyline. So that one's called Escape from Dinosaur Island. Okay. That was issues 8 and 10 of Superman.
So that's kind of the issue 9 is kind of a one-shot?
It's part 2 of a story.
Okay, part 2, okay.
Yeah, it's part 2 of the first part was in part 8.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, I suggest that it's a good read. It's just a 2-part story all by itself.
Yeah.
It's good. And then, of course, we go into The Name of the Father, part 1, issue 10. Strongly recommend it.
I like the fact that on the actual title page, on the cover of these DC books, they're actually putting, like, part 1, part 2. A lot of times you don't know that until actually you open it up and you'll see the credits scene, maybe the splash page, and they'll have listed part 1 of such and such storyline or story arc. I like that they're having it read on the front cover. So now you know, Superman issue 10 is a good jumping on point. If you were like, okay, I want to read Superman. I do not want to start all at 1 because I know I got a lot to catch up on, but I want to start on, jump in, and maybe catch up at some point. Now we know Superman issue 10. It's a good starting point. So
yeah, awesome. It is, definitely.
I like that a lot.
And since we talked about Superman and Batman, we'll go ahead and lead into Justice League issue number 8. Starts a new storyline called Outbreak Part 1. And I'm not going to go into too much detail because I know you haven't read it. Yeah, you're still trying to catch up. I'm
catching up, yep.
But good storyline, that's all I'll say.
Okay, cool.
Total chaos.
I'm glad. I'm really thrilled that you are enjoying at least Superman and Justice League. Yeah. Yeah, especially now the fact that it's kind of coming around. Because I think last issue, if I recall correctly, you were kind of on the fence about Justice League.
Yeah, I was getting ready to drop it like a bad hat or habit, whatever it is.
I'm glad you came around. Absolutely.
Speaking of hats, I enjoyed the story about your wife throwing your hat out the window
today. Yep.
That was kind of funny.
Yep. Yeah, short little thing. We were driving, and I was trying to fix my hat because the window was down here in Indiana. It's actually pretty nice day out today. And we had the windows down. Wind was coming in because we were going about 55 or so. Speed limit.
You were driving?
I was driving, I was driving. And fixed my hat. Alignment isn't the best in our car currently. So it kind of veered off a little bit. It was my mistake. I should have kept at least one hand on the wheel. But I put two to kind of adjust my hat real quick that I was wearing so it doesn't fly out the window. And she, like jokingly freaked out, like, what are you doing? And I was like, I fixed my hat. And she yanks off my hat and throws it out the window.
It was a knit hat?
Yeah, it was a beanie. to be exact. Yeah, beanie that I like to wear. And nice, cool blue beanie. I like blue a lot. Like, beanies are comfortable. And she chucked it out the window. And I was like, what are you doing? So I had to turn around and go get that. She was cracking up. Oh, and I'm like,
funny.
At my expense, not funny. But yeah, if it was reversed, I would be laughing. So
yeah.
No harm, no foul.
Was she telling me she went back to get it and it was in the middle of the road?
Yep.
Because she threw it out the driver's window.
Yep.
So it went out in the middle of the road. She went to go fetch it, then she went to run back. She dropped her phone. Her phone. Yeah, not in the freeway, folks.
No, not on the freeway. Just a back road. Yeah,
it's just funny stuff.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. How about Thor, the Mighty Thor, issue number 12? In issue 11, we find that the hammer can speak.
Oh, yes, yeah. They had a few issues back in like the 70s or so, 80s, that it could communicate. And they're bringing it back. That's cool.
So it was just kind of a one-shot deal, at least for now, because apparently it takes a lot of energy. Because she created, the hammer created a copy of Jane. I can't think of what Jane's last. Jane Foster.
Yeah.
It created a carbon copy of Jane Foster because S.H.I.E.L.D. was trying to figure out who this new Thor is. And so they were convinced that Thor and Jane Foster were the same. So the hammer came to the rescue, appeared as Jane Foster. Anyway, so we find a little bit of history of... Well, actually, we find the history for the Thor's hammer. Very, very, very good. Still kind of left a lot of open ends, which is typical. They don't want to close everything up. They want to be able to talk about it and build on it later on. Well worth the read.
So issue 12.
Issue 12, Mighty Thor.
So lots of good Mjolnir history. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Pure. That's the whole thing about it. Sweet. So definitely worth picking up, reading, and keeping. So also, now some of these I have mixed up from last week and this week.
Yeah.
Well, I guess last week and the week before.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit mixed up there with my books. I did pick up Star Trek Boldly Go. It's from IDW, issue number 1. I was a little hesitant, but it's a number 1. I try to grab them when I can, just because you might find that diamond in the rough that's worth a small fortune down the road.
Yeah.
I still have yet to find my roads and diamonds maybe on. But another good read. The Kirk and his crew are split up. They're waiting for the Enterprise to get rebuilt. And so Kirk is captain of another ship. And Spock and Uhura are on Vulcan 2, trying to have a vacation, if you will. Another good storyline. The ending was I didn't see coming.
Hmm.
Another ship, Kirk and his crew answer the call of a distress call from a vehicle. Starship. And they get there. They find a couple survivors. And the survivors say, they just said one thing. They're like, what? What'd they say? And he says, resistance is futile. So
that's a Borg thing, right?
That's a Borg thing. Ah, so okay. Leave that there.
Yeah, because that, at least the R on the cover, brief little glance that I saw, looks like it was the resemblance of the movies.
Yeah.
Was, Spock kind of looks younger. They all look younger. Yeah. And they have that resemblance to at least the movies, closer than the old TV shows.
It was good. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I'll probably subscribe to that.
Okay.
At least for now. So I picked up... Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye. Folks, this book was advertised something fierce for months before it came out.
Hmm.
If it wasn't a comic book that I spent $4 on, I'd tear it in half, throw it in the trash.
What?
I hated it. I hated every page. I hated every word. I hated the artwork. That's just me. It was like I was reading a book from the 60s.
Huh.
Yeah, I did not like it. The artwork was awful.
Hmm. I wonder if it's a lot to do with, because they have like this whole little, I wouldn't call it series, but there's a lot of these young animal DC Comics titles that they're having. And I wonder if the Young Animal line is something similar to like what they've done in the past with like a new, what do they call it? New creator, like Spotlight. Because a while back in, I want to say March or so, I mentioned it a lot, several issues back, that DC was actually having new artists and new writers. You can take this course and, you know, if you do well enough and you progress through it a lot, then you can actually get a book for DC Comics. And I think, I'm wondering if Young Animal makes kind of sense. It is that, because we see a lot of them, they're kind of strange. They're not the biggest, you know, they're not Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman. They're not the main heroes or villains that you see, but yet they're still very heavily advertised, like you said.
So I pulled it out of the bag so you can take a quick gander at it while I'm going on to a couple other comics here. You can see the artwork, a little bit of the storyline.
Yeah.
So I picked up number 1 issue of Infamous Iron Man, The Rise of Doom. It's where Doom takes over the mantle of Iron Man from Tony Stark. He takes his armor And there's several heroes in the Marvel Universe that aren't very happy about that and wonder what Dr. Doom is up to, because he is your typical villain. He only does something when it's in it for him. I picked up Prowler number one. That's about the only one I'll get. It was okay. It was part of the clone conspiracy tie-in. So it's not bad. It's something to check out. Superman Action Comics issue 966 goes on with the storyline about Lois Lane being back at the Daily Planet and how her husband and son are having to adjust to mom working. That also has the new Supergirl. No, not Supergirl.
Superwoman.
Superwoman, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is Lana Lang?
Yes. Yep.
So what'd you think? You just glanced through it. What'd you think?
It's very reminiscent of, yeah, like you said, 60s comics. Just the style of it. And from what I can tell, it looks like it has the Metal Men, I think they're called. And right now they are in another Young Animal title. Mm-hmm. And you saw a little bit of Wild Dog, which is interesting because he's on the Arrow TV show.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to point that out to you. Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
I was like, huh, okay. So, yeah, it's if you like the indie kind of titles, I think it's a limited issue thing, again, with, like, Vigilante. It seemed like one of those very big, like, indie Vertigo kind of stuff that they wanted to do.
So I picked up Green Lanterns number 10. I did not pick up number 9. I may have to go back and pick number 9. Hmm. But there's a new ring in the Green Lantern universe called the Phantom Ring.
Really?
And it basically combines all the powers of all the rings. So whoever wears the ring has control of all the powers.
Wow.
So.
That's interesting.
It is.
I'm intrigued now. But you said issue 10 probably isn't a good jumping on point?
No. Pick up issue number 9.
Okay.
Issue number 9, I believe, started that storyline.
Okay. Sweet.
So we were at, you mentioned a couple Comic Cons that we were at. I picked up an issue called Stingray. It's by Cutthroat Comics. And I got one of the, looks like Josh Nalis, it was created by him. He signed it for me. Issue number 1, Cutthroat Comics, Stingray. Artwork was really good. I enjoyed it. Storyline was decent. Decent concept. It's got some very strong language in it, so it's not for a younger audience, which I don't mind the strong language myself. However, it's not bad. It's some aliens are kidnapping Earth people and giving them extra powers, extra strength and stuff, so that they can go work in their mines and mine minerals. So in this particular instance, this main character, his wife passed away shortly after giving birth to their son, and then he's laying on the sofa with the kid on his chest, and then he falls asleep, baby's asleep, and all of a sudden he gets kidnapped and taken to this alien spaceship.
The child?
Nope.
Oh, the man.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha.
Child gets left on the sofa.
Oh, wow.
And he's gone for months. And
negligence.
Nobody finds the kid until it's too late.
Oh, wow.
So they address that towards the end.
So adult language and adult content.
Yes.
Usually you'll see that in like teen rated or, you know, child rated comics.
Yeah, it was it's kind of rough. But
yeah.
I enjoyed it. I doubt I'll ever find the whatever happens with the storyline.
Yeah.
I don't care, but it was good. Jessica Jones, issue number 1. Outstanding book.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Even if you weren't a fan of the TV show, it's a very, very good storyline. Really? Very good book.
Okay. Awesome.
So well worth the read. Pick it up. Buy it. Keep it. Buy two. One to read. One to keep. Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah. I saw that it was Brian Michael Bendis is writing it. He's a fantastic writer. I think he did the original Jessica Jones, Alias Investigations. Mm. Or Alias. I think it was just called Alias. I saw the covers of them. So far, all of them I've seen, they're all like watercolor and they look awesome. The cover alone made me want to subscribe to it. So I have it waiting in my pull list from DCBS. But
yeah, I won't give any spoilers except for Misty Knight is in it. And
yeah.
Luke Cage makes an appearance.
Okay.
Spider-Woman makes an appearance. There's appearance. There's talk about things that have happened in the Marvel Universe and how it's affected others.
Okay.
So it's a good book.
Yeah.
Almost finished here. Got just a couple more. The Unworthy Thor, issue number 1.
Yes.
So if you remember back when the Watcher was murdered, and I forget what that storyline was called.
Who killed the Watcher?
Oh, was that it?
I'm pretty sure. Okay. Yeah. It was really simple. Like, somebody killed the Watcher. Who killed the Watcher? Yeah. It was, yeah.
Well, Nick Fury whispered something into Thor's ear, but Thor ends up dropping his hammer and cannot pick it back up. He becomes unworthy to wield the hammer. So he gets a little depressed. That's when Lady Thor comes along, or as you call her, Goddess of Thunder.
Yeah.
He can pick up the hammer. She picks it up, takes over the mantle of Thor. So now he is just Odin's son, and he's the unworthy Thor. Anyway, he is on the great search for another hammer. And at the end of Secret Wars, in the Secret Wars' most recent one, Asgardian Thors, who were Doom's police force. And when Secret Wars ended, one of the hammers was flying through space and crash lands on a planet, on a moon or something. And that's where it stayed. Well, Odin's son is after that hammer. He finds out there's another hammer from another universe. He's on his way to try to find it. But he's not the only one.
Okay.
So, very good storyline. I've slowly become a big Thor fan.
Awesome. So, yeah, that was another one that's added to my list to pull this month and just didn't get a chance to get to the shop yet and this week and read it.
Yeah, I'm excited to read it. It's well worth reading.
Okay. The art looked good, too, at least from what I can tell on the cover.
And the last book I want to mention, which is going to lead into our next topic, is Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supreme, issue number 1. I've never been a big Doctor Strange fan, I'm slowly getting won over. I enjoyed this. It's worth reading, so you might want to check into it. So that'll probably lead us straight into movies.
Yeah. So real quick with that issue, was it a team people? Like, was it a bunch of sorcerers? Is that what it is?
Well, in a nutshell, Merlin is traveling through time and dimensions and gathering sorcerers supremes and taking them back to the past to defeat a big enemy who has he's kept locked up for a while and has now gathered more strength and is attacking. So there are several sorcerer supremes from the past, the present, the future, and in between.
Gotcha. Very cool. But yes, so movies.
Yes.
I watched Friday night, the new Doctor Strange movie, and I think you watched it today.
Yeah, I went and saw it this morning.
Awesome, awesome. What'd you think?
I loved it.
Cool.
I loved it. It was good.
Yeah, I liked it too. I saw the 3D. I didn't watch the IMAX 3D. If other friends go to see IMAX 3D and they need somebody to go with them, I may go with them. But I just didn't want to watch it the first time because I knew it was going to be a lot to take in. With it being Doctor Strange and seeing the trailer and all the chaos that was going on and world-bending stuff. So yeah, and it's been getting pretty good reviews as well. There are some people that are kind of saying there wasn't much to the storyline. I think that it was good for the storyline. It was a good origin story, especially for the people who didn't know too much about him. I definitely was one of them that didn't know too much about him. In your same boat where I didn't know, not really the biggest fan of Doctor Strange. Kind of goes right back into, I think it's the Defenders or Thunderbolts. Maybe he bounces around both, but he usually is in some team. It's low-grade team. He was barely in the Avengers. But he was in one storyline I liked, the Avengers Illuminati, where they, as a team, wiped Captain America's mind about an event that they did. And so it was pretty cool to see that. And I think he was a part of the Avengers at that time. But I think he stepped away because of the chaos and moral dilemmas and whatnot. But yeah, I like the movie a lot. And I'm excited to see more of him. And because Benedict Cumberbatch, he's awesome. And he's a great Stephen Strange. And I was kind of hoping for more of a tie-in with the Avengers, but we got something, but I won't go too much into that.
Benedict is the host of Saturday Night Live this weekend, this past Saturday.
No, I think this past Saturday is Dave Chappelle.
Nope, Dave Chappelle's on the 12th.
Dave Chappelle's, okay.
But I've actually got it recorded for Benedict.
Awesome.
Probably watched the opening sequence of it. I figured I'd see the rest of it for you when you show up.
We'll check it out.
Watch that tonight.
Yeah, it'd be cool. But yeah, I liked it a lot. Yeah, it's pretty much all that I want to say about it. It's still really early on. I don't want to spoil too much stuff, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't spoil anything.
I would say, at least you seem disappointed, but I would say stay until the very end. Last credit scene. There's a final after the credit scene.
Yeah, not just the normal, this is who played in it. And they have a little side thing.
Yeah, they have a mid-credit scene.
Yeah, so then that ends. And then they go through all the credits, like who the voice gaff was and the animation and who played the music and special thanks to all the rest of that stuff. Go through, stay at the very end.
Yeah.
There's another clip.
Yeah. I think it was worth it. Like, it shows a lot to do with what's going to be leading up. And it showed, I'm trying to say it non-spoilery ways, yeah, it showed a good start for what's going to happen next with a particular character. You know, it wasn't like, you know, he's joining the Avengers team and he's getting his ID badge or nothing like that. But it was interesting, and I think that it could lead into something bigger down the road.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in it, but we'll see. But yeah. Overall, I enjoyed the movie.
Okay.
It was great.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Well worth the time, well worth the money.
Speaking of movies, you know, they're going to be making a Voltron movie, a live-action Voltron.
Yeah, I saw that recently. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll probably watch it. Yeah, I'm not the biggest Voltron fan. I saw several of the... They're probably remakes, not remakes. They're probably like reboots and stuff like that. But growing up, I saw a lot of this stuff, a lot of the animated stuff. And honestly, I've never read any of the comics that they have, but
the cartoons are better.
Yeah.
Especially the Lions. The Lions were the originals, and then they came up with the Cars.
Okay. Maybe that's what it was. I think it was the Cars is the one I saw. I don't know. But if the trailer looks cool enough, I'll give it a shot. Especially if chances are I know a bunch of friends are going to want to see it. So I'll probably go with them or you and check it out.
Trailers. I enjoyed watching the Wonder Woman trailer again today.
Yes. Yeah. There was a brand new Wonder Woman trailer. I want to say it was, just trailer number 2. And it was awesome. Really cool. Still no showing of like who the main villain is. Granted, if you dissect it and overanalyze it, screen by, shot by shot, you can probably piece together who it might be. But there wasn't a big announcement or a big reveal so far in the trailers who the big villain is going to be. Because chances are it's going to be one person and not just she's fighting in the war. You know, it's a war movie. I think there is a villain that's going to be overarching the whole thing. No reveal yet, which I'm okay with. Like a lot of these trailers, especially with trailers number 2 generally, kind of go over way too much. You know, they expose too much of the movie and you kind of know everything by that time.
What else we got for movies?
Movies. Rogue One is coming out soon. I think we've talked about it several times. Yes, next month.
Yes.
The 18th, I think it is. So, got a bunch of friends that are going to want to see it. I think we're going to do IMAX 3D or something. I don't know. But, yeah, should be fun. Should be exciting. I think it's going to look good. Got a few friends now, actually, that have seen the most recent trailer 2 as well. And they're just like, meh, it doesn't look that good. I'm like, what? Like, it's not the usual storyline of what we see in Star Wars, which I'm okay with. I like the fact that this is going to be more, I wouldn't say down to earth because they're not on earth, but it's not following a bunch of Jedis, which most of the other movies are. All the movies are. And this one, you at least from the trailer, you don't see any Jedis. So I'm intrigued by that. And I think that we'll see more of the infantry side of things and the rebellion side of things and how they kind of, live and exist and do what they can in this giant war and chaos that's going on in the Star Wars universe. And maybe a Jedi will show up. That'd be cool. Just like a little cameo or something. Just to kind of still show that there are Jedis. They are super powerful. Because they made a mention of something. And I think they could be talking about a Jedi. Where he says it makes it look like 10 men. 10 men seem like 100. But that could be out of context. It could be misconstrued. But it should be interesting to see how they handle the Jedis, if at all, in this new movie.
Well, by this time, the Jedis should be dead.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Darth Vader killed, or Anakin killed a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And issue 66? Order 66.
Order 66, yeah. He killed a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe, because I know Obi-Wan was still around, so I wonder at what point this actually is. Like, is Obi-Wan secluded away? Or is he still in the Clone Wars? I don't know the exact timeline of this movie.
No, Clone Wars would have happened before this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is guaranteed to be after the Clone Wars?
Yeah, this is between the New Hope issue or episode 4 with Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Because this is just when the Death Star gets built.
Okay, because by the time we get to Revenge of the Sith, episode 3, the Clone Wars is done, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, I think you're right there. Because Clone Wars is 2, but there was also a TV show and comics that show the Clone Wars. It wasn't just, within a 2-hour span. It was a very long, drawn-out war. And then when you get to episode 3, that's when it's finished and it's done.
Yeah, the Clone Wars happens between... episode 2 and 3.
Yeah.
That's when the Clone Wars happens during that time frame.
Yeah, because it's a very long thing, but you just don't see too much of it. Unless you watch the actual animated movie and comic book. Animated show and comic books. Well, yeah, that's all I got for movies.
Yeah, that's all I have too.
So next one, TV shows. For me, mainly, still DC TV shows. I haven't gotten to the Marvel ones. And that's mainly what I'm watching. A little bit of Big Bang Theory, but yeah, mainly DC shows. Supergirl, you all caught up as well?
Oh yeah, I'm caught up with all of them.
I love Supergirl now. Like, I wasn't the biggest fan of it, and when it was on NBC, I'd watch a few episodes here and there.
CBS,
NBC is all the same. But yeah, CBS. I didn't really get too much into it. My wife did. She loves it. And I'm greatly enjoying it now. This is on CW. Easy channel. Same channel. You just stream it online. That's what I do. On CWTV.com. And now that they brought in Superman, they brought in Martian Manhunter. And spoiler alert, they brought in Ms. Martian, which is pretty cool, especially for the Young Justice fans out there. Because we have not seen her in any other TV shows. I don't really see her in too many other comics either. It's mainly just Young Justice. And she's probably been in some comics before, of course. But it wasn't until recently that you see all her in the TV show. But yeah, I liked it a lot. And there was a reveal at the end, if I recall correctly. She's not who she says she is.
No.
Okay. No. She's a white Martian, which is not a good thing for the green Martians. It's like a separate culture. So yeah, they usually don't get along well at all. So we'll see what happens. Maybe this will be something different, or we'll see a fight and it should be awesome. Either way, it's going to be great. I like it a lot. I'm really excited for, I think they've announced that December is going to be the 4-part crossover extravaganza where there's going to be Supergirl into, I think it's 5 actually, technically 5, but I don't know where it's starting off at. But yeah, so Supergirl into Flash, into Arrow, and then Legends Tomorrow. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, last Flash episode looks great as well. The next one looks awesome. Talking a little bit more about Wally and Alchemy and them getting their powers and stuff.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Supergirl. I'm looking very much forward to the tie-in crossovers.
Yeah, it looks to be pretty good. Yeah, I'm really excited for next week's as well. This week was pretty cool. It was the monster, it was a big giant monster in Central City. And you saw a little bit more of Caitlin Snow, and she's developing powers. This is all kinds of spoilers, so brace yourself. And this next week looks to be Alchemy is talking with Wally, possibly getting powers soon, so that's exciting. And there's been some set photos released. I don't know if I want to spoil it. Yeah, sure, why not? We spoil things all the time. It looks like Mark Hamill, the one and only, is coming back to be on the Flash.
Trickster again?
No, he's not playing Trickster. He is playing the Joker. Full out, in gear, everything. He's going to be the Joker. He's not going to be, it doesn't look like, not what people are suspecting at least. He's going to be the Joker from a different universe, but yet still the Joker. So, yeah, it's very interesting. A lot of people are super confused about it. A friend of mine was like, has the Joker ever fought the Flash? And I don't think so, at least not one-on-one. So that could mean that there's other heroes going to be involved as well. So I'm super excited about it. I think it hasn't been officially announced, but the set photos are pretty clear. He's going to be the Joker. So that's super exciting. Love Mark Hamill as the Joker. So it'd be cool to see him live action as the Joker. And Arrow. I'm holding out for Vigilante. Where is he?
He's coming. Give him time.
I'm surprised he hasn't been shown yet. I thought that he was going to be in this episode. And they showed somebody. I don't know who that was, though. Because apparently there was some hired gun or something. I don't know. It was some guy, not Vigilante. There was some sort of mercenary that was hired by the big bad guy. And he was coming around. And then he got betrayed. So maybe he'll now not be just a mercenary. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm a little confused because Felicity had a sketch of the Vigilante.
Yes.
But when we saw Adrian Chase in Oliver Queen's office a couple times, he doesn't seem to think very highly of the Vigilantes.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen him in costume yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of making me wonder what's going on.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Stop teasing me, Arrow people.
Yes, yeah. And you saw at the end of this, again, spoiler. At the end of this episode, I want to say it was 5, I think, you saw them actually kill off the main villain. What's his name? Big guy. Head honcho dude.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Church. Tobias Church. And he's just like some, like, you know, kingpin, headmaster, thug guy, whatever, gangster guy, and mob boss. There we go. We call him Mob Boss. And yeah, he was actually killed off. So by somebody named Prometheus. Sorry for the positive forgot about Prometheus, which is also interesting because that is a DC villain, but it doesn't look anything like the DC villain that we know as Prometheus. I do have a very strong assumption and guess as to who Prometheus is, but I don't want to go into it because we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I don't want to ruin anything because there's a good chance it's somebody and it's in the comic books. So if you want to check out, Jeff Lemire's run on Green Arrow back in issue 17, read that storyline if you want to know a good inclination of who it possibly could be. So we'll see. I'm excited for it. Maybe next issue we'll talk about it and I'll tell you who my guess is. But did you like Arrow? Did you have any?
I loved Arrow. I have nothing else. You've covered it.
Okay. Yeah. I want them to bring back Arsenal. I miss Arsenal a lot. He's one of my favorite heroes and he's been away too long. But I'm liking that they're having their own team. So that's pretty cool. They're kind of like a Justice League. What do you want to call it? A backup squad? A B team, C team, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's cool that they're having a new team, Arrow team. There we go. And then Legend of Tomorrow. All the shows, I love them all. Huge fan of all of them. This one, this last week, it was okay. It was good. It had some fun little stuff going on with zombies and Civil War. Very interesting that they had that. And it was just like, hey, we have a time traveling machine. We have pretty much whatever we want to do with storyline wise. Let's do zombies because we haven't done zombies before. So my little thing is, how in the world did they keep that under wraps? Maybe it's not under wraps. I don't know. But so, yeah. So it's interesting. I liked it a lot. And I'm intrigued to see how Ray Palmer is going to be in the future, because right now he's kind of still bummed about the whole no suit thing, because it was really rough. It's a really rough scene where they had to actually destroy his own suit because the bad guys got it last episode, episode 4, I think it was. And I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen with him. There's a few different routes they could go, but I don't know which one they're going to take. So hopefully they do something awesome.
What gets me with that show is they have basically a spaceship.
Yes.
Travels through space, can go to different planets.
Yep.
But yet they just hang around Earth and bebop in and out of time, places, and Earth.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess their thing is Earth is like the main thing they need to defend. And I don't know if they've run into aliens, so the fact of like, okay, let's go to this planet and that planet to help them and whatnot. So, yeah, that's true, they do, but I just don't know if they have the knowledge of the fact that there's other aliens. And
I'm sure Gideon has all the information in their database.
But yeah.
Anyway, we'll get there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's going to lead into the crossovers.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that has been officially announced, but just not exactly how it's going to fit in. But yeah, there is aliens going to be involved there. So,
right.
But it's going hard to tell if it's going to be on Earth or they're going to go to that planet. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, they are knocking out the park. I love every single show of the DC TV stuff that's on.
I like how Sarah has really stepped up to be a good leader.
Yes, yeah. She's stepped it up a lot. Yes, yeah. And they kind of talked about that in this last one because she was kind of hesitant about it and she didn't know if she should be the one and how good of a leader she is. But the guy, the main person, the other guy, I forgot who it was.
Gray?
No, not Gray. It was because he was leading for a little bit, but yeah, he's done sucks. Badly. Yeah. He doesn't have that quick reaction time, which kind of makes sense because he's older, but you know, he's not the best at the fast responses like what Rip and Sarah has done. But no, back in the Civil War, I think who was the guy that they were visiting in Civil War?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Was it Grant, perhaps? I don't remember. We'll have to look it up.
Yeah, we'll look it up. But it was, yeah, the guy who was leading the North. We talked with him, and he kind of like set her at ease a little bit with leading. So, yeah, I think it was really done. Really well done. Loving all the shows. And that's mainly for me. Walking Dead's been good. Yeah,
Walking Dead's been good.
We're going to watch it tonight. Don't think we talked about it. Yeah, episode 3 is coming out tonight, so we're going to watch it live. It's going to be great. Here in an hour and a half. Feels much later than what it is because of the daylight savings time. But the big thing, episode 1, my goodness gracious, it was a lot.
It was
a
lot. Sad.
It was sad. It was dramatic. It was intense. Shocking. All the words, all the feelings, all the adjectives. I cried. Yeah, tears ran down my face. And that is the first time a television show has ever made that happen for me. Movie-wise, I haven't cried during a movie since Pokemon the movie. When, at the end, they're fighting each other, and they have to, they're, slapping each other, punching each other back and forth. It was a very sad moment, and I remember that I cried during it, and haven't since. You know, it's not something like, I'm gonna hold back, and no, I'm too manly. No, I'm accepting to it if it happens. And, yeah, it was a very intense show. Spoiler alerts are plenty, because it has been aired. So, Abraham, Mr. Macho guy, he's, alpha male, military man, probably the Army, maybe Marines.
Army
guy, got killed, went out with a bang, puns intended. And then, it continues on throughout the show, and then it goes back to the same scene where they're all sitting there, they're all captured by Negan, this villain now, and then...
Daryl does something stupid.
Yes, Daryl. Daryl does something stupid. Because he wants them. He says, that was a freebie. You guys better stay in line, because I will shut it down. His terms are a bit different, but...
And then Glenn gets the bat.
Yes. Without hesitation, they didn't draw it out. It was just, bam, right on the head. And then it was drawn out.
Uh-huh. They'd suffer for a couple seconds.
Very emotional, yeah. And, I think that he was possibly suffering. I'm trying to think about it, but, there's been cases where someone has taken head trauma, and the nerve endings in the skull actually don't react as though, their hands or feet or something like that. For instance, there was actually a case, there was actually an incident where somebody in the Marines or the military was overseas, and it was very close combat, and he actually got stabbed in the head with a knife. And the guy had no clue about it. It went straight through his helmet and everything. And, and he continued on. He took down the attacker and then went back to his unit. And they were freaking out, and he didn't know why. It was because he had a knife lodged into his skull, deep. And so, I think he was probably suffering. He was trying to talk a little bit, but he couldn't say the words. And then he said something up to Maggie.
I will find you.
I will find you, yeah. Glenn was actually one of my favorite characters. It was the only issue of Walking Dead I ever read, and probably will ever read, is the 100th issue. Super spectacular foil cover edition. And I was like, never read any other issue, but it's the 100th issue extravaganza. Maybe it's a good one. And I read it, and then Glenn died, and I'm like, I'm done, because he was one of my favorite characters. His moral compass was, especially early on, was great. He knew what was right and wrong, and he knew not to cross the line, and he typically didn't. And it wasn't until later on that he started kind of, it was more things were becoming gray. It wasn't always black and white with him, so it started, there was a gray area with him. And then he started coming back, and he's more chipper. He's a positive guy on the squad. Yeah, and then this happened, and the scene that got me, at least, because I know I saw you. You were it was the reaction. Yeah, my wife. I don't know if she was crying or not. She might have been, but it was very intense. Long show. It seems like, and. There was a scene where it's like a flashback of Rick's, I believe, or like a delusion or a dream or something. And they're all sitting there. It looks like they're in Alexandria. They're all sitting there at a table. Everybody's all cleaned up and healthy looking. And they're not all, dirty and raggedy as they usually are. They're very clean and happy. It's such a happy moment. Glenn is still there because this is after Glenn had to get killed and Abraham. And it looks like there's actually a kid of Maggie, because Maggie's pregnant now. So, and just seeing that was just, too much. And, it wasn't, I wasn't sobbing. But it was enough. It was an intense episode enough that, it happened for me, at least. And I heard a lot about other people. It was very, very emotional, very intense. I didn't get the chance to see all the Talking Dead, but there was a Talking Dead afterwards. And it was big as well. And I think, to my understanding, Glenn came out and everybody's crying too. The actor, Steven Yeun, I think his name is. But yeah, great episode. This last one was pretty cool because it was, introducing a new character, King Ezekiel.
King Ezekiel. Welcome to the kingdom.
Yes. He's got a tiger, so that's pretty cool. And, I love at the end because his name's King Ezekiel and he calls it the kingdom. It's like Alexandria. It's this community that they've built together. and everybody has, you know, plays their own part, and they pull their own weight and then some. And he has this acting or character to him where he talks in the sense that he is actually a king. He believes, you know, he's a king and everybody serves him and stuff like this. And he's not like a tyrant. He's not like a mean, you know, bad king or nothing like that, but king nonetheless. And Carol's there, and the guy, what's his name again? Carol, and he's an awesome guy.
Can't think of it.
He's got staff. Yeah, he's got staff.
Rick's friend.
Yes. Really great. He's there too. And you see her, she's near the end, she's about to leave, she's like, I'm packing up, I'm done with this place, this is a joke. And King Ezekiel actually comes over to her, and they're talking for a little bit, and finally he takes it out, and he takes... He stops the acting that he was doing. He's talking like a normal guy. Kind of found out he was a zookeeper, and the tiger was in pain, so he helped it out, and so it grew an attachment and to him. So a lot of people think it's some other craziness, but no, he's just a zookeeper, a normal dude. But it's the fact that they want somebody to serve, and these stories start being made up because of the fact that he was a zookeeper, no one knew much about him. So they started creating these ridiculous storylines for him, and he just went with it. So, very interesting character. He's in the comic books as well, so I was excited to see him come into the show. So we'll see what happens episode 3. If it's the same rotation as usual, it should be back to Rick and Rosita and all of them. Not Daryl, but everybody else, because Daryl is separated from the group. But the whole big group, Maggie and all them, it should be back to them. And I think it's going to be very emotional, very intense, because they're going to have to be dealing with a little bit of what happened on episode 1. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited for it. I hope I don't cry again. But I don't want to. No, I don't want to always cry on shows.
I want you to cry again.
And it's not always something I want to do. But yeah, so TV shows. Now, that's all I got. How about you?
That's all I got for TV shows. Except for you mentioned they introduced the act. Actress who's going to be playing on The Defenders as the villain. And
yes.
That is?
Sigourney Weaver. Yes. Yep. Yeah. New York Comic Con, they announced Sigourney Weaver. She's going to be the villain. They haven't said much beyond that.
Yeah. They haven't said, Marvel hasn't said what villain.
Yeah. But I'm assuming she's got to be part of some organization. She's got to have a lot of henchmen with her or robots or something. I don't feel that she would be like an actual super villain, like since that she's got powers. I don't know. We'll see. I kind of hope that they kind of bring in more of the other villains, you know, like Kingpin, maybe Punisher, and kind of bring them all their villains together. Maybe Jessica Jones will have a new villain. I don't know, because Kilgrave is, well, he's dead. But super excited for Iron Fist. I've heard a lot of good stuff about him. I actually just today, not 40 minutes ago, won an eBay listing for a volume 1 of Iron Fist. That's what I was so excited about.
Really? What issue?
It's volume 1, so it's a trade paperback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. And it's a huge collection. I want to say several, so I want to say it's probably like a good, let's see, maybe probably 16, 17 issues or so. Can't remember the exact number, but yeah, it's a good chunk. Usually it's about like $20, $26, $30 or so. And, I got it for $10. So thank you, eBay.
Can't beat that.
Yeah. And the guy even says 9.4 condition. So yeah, I'm excited for Iron Fist, and that's going to be in March. And then next November will be the Defenders. They'll be all coming together. So usually in the comic books, I do not care for the Defenders whatsoever. They're boring to me. not my cup of tea. But this show, I am super excited for it.
Well, there's been many, many different teams of Defenders over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, the original Defenders was Hulk, Surfer.
Silver Surfer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Doctor Strange. And there was one more. I forget who it was.
Was it Daredevil? I think one of them was a part of it.
Not the original. The original Electra? Original ones. I forget. Huh?
Electra, maybe?
No, the original. Back in a long time ago.
Huh.
I'll look it up while you're chit-chatting there.
But yeah, so I'm excited for it. It's a very, very, very simple teaser, but I've played it several times. It's just a lot of the, what would you want us to call it? I don't know. It's, you can check it out on YouTube. Defenders teaser came out a while back. I want to say San Diego Comic-Con. So it was back in like June or July. And yeah, I Maybe it was New York Comic Con. I don't know. But it came out a while back. You've probably seen it by now. But it's a great, great teaser. Yeah, and it's very simple. They're just showing, it's like a corkboard almost, and there's things ripping away. So it's like Daredevil, and it's kind of giving some like throwbacks to his show. And then it's got Jessica Jones a little bit. And you don't actually see them. You just see names and news clippings. It's got Luke Cage, and this is who is Danny Rand, who is, of course, Iron Fist. And I think you see Iron Fist's symbol in there, too. And then it's like Defenders, and it's all the background music of Nirvana, and it's like an acoustic almost, maybe not even acoustic, just a cappella. I don't know, maybe there's some music. There's probably some actual, like, you know, guitar in there too. But it's great. I love it. It's a very awesome teaser. And then the Iron Fist trailer is actually out as well. So if you haven't seen that, check it out. It's a great, great trailer. A lot of cool kind of stuff coming up, and that's gonna be in March. So I'm really, really excited for that. I wonder, though, like, if you got Iron Fist on the team, why do you need Daredevil? Like, because you got the power. Like, Iron Fist is super powerful. He's his little catchphrase or whatever. Not catchphrase, but his slogan, whatever you want to call it, is the living weapon. And he's got the martial arts. He's master of kung fu or karate or something. I don't know. I think it's kung fu. And he's got these super like powers that he can like do blasts, and he can do like all kinds of cool stuff. Not as like powerful as Superman or anything like that, or like the Hulk. Not that strong. But when you have Daredevil, like, he's not as strong as Daredevil. Like, Daredevil's not as strong. He's not as fast.
Yeah, that's the thing. Daredevil's just a normal human.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I think
he's got his. Yeah, he's got some heightened senses and all stuff.
The heightened senses and the radar, which they haven't actually addressed that in the TV show, I don't think.
They touch on it lightly, but yeah, there was one episode. I want to say it was like first or second of season one, and you actually see it, and he's described it before too as like he sees like everything's on fire. It's not like echolocation where we saw in the Daredevil Ben Affleck movie. It was more like, you know, a noise would happen and it would be reflecting off. It's like everything's on fire essentially for him. But yeah, it looks like Namor, Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange, and the Hulk was the original Defenders. Yeah, he just googled it for me.
There's been several of them.
Yeah, yeah. The one that I saw, it was like She-Hulk, maybe Red She-Hulk, and Doctor Strange, and I think Elektra was on the team. And it was just like not people that I cared about. So
a lot of Defenders, a lot of secret Defenders.
Yeah.
New Defenders. It's just going on.
Thunderbolts, I think, was there too. And I think, yeah. So there's all kinds of little teams that Marvel has. But yeah, for this show, I'm really excited for it. I don't know. Well, I guess what we're saying is like I don't know for a fact if, you know, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist has ever been a team of the Defenders until this show.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, so I'm excited for it. So yeah, said a bunch, but yeah, definitely excited for it. Loving the show. Can't wait. March and then November, to my understanding. So that's all TV shows. That's all movies, comics we covered. Gaming, I can cover real quick because I know you typically don't care about it. But yeah, so PAX Australia is going on right now, so I'll try to throw it out real quick. Overwatch character, there's a new one coming out. There's a lot of good stuff ramping up for Overwatch, so if you're a big fan of it, check it out. PAX Australia, usually it's PAX West or PAX East, but it's like a moving Comic-Con that's going on. But yeah, PAX Australia, and she's like a hacker person and all kinds of cool stuff, so definitely check it out. There's all kinds of good information out there. Fortunately, I don't have much to go off of right now because I just looked it up real quick. But yeah, so there's Overwatch and then Diablo 3. Because maybe it's actually BlizzCon's going on too. So this information may not come from PAX Australia. I think it's all BlizzCon. So there's just that, and there's also Diablo 3. And they're coming out with a new character. Well, new old character. They're coming out with Necromancer. You haven't seen him at all, or her, in the Diablo 3 franchise or game. But we saw him or her in Diablo 2. So yeah, you'll be able to like summon back zombies and revive the dead and all kinds of fun stuff with that. So it'll give me an excuse to play Diablo 3 again, because I haven't played it in several months, so that should be fun. And I think there's a new World of Warcraft patch coming out for the game, and they're making a big deal about it. But yeah, actually, come to think of it, PAX Australia, I didn't see any information. But yeah, there's all kinds of gaming news, so I would say, if anything, check out PAX Australia. There's a lot of good stuff coming out. So if you're into gaming, that's a good source. So that's all I got for gaming. We'll go on the Comic-Con real quick. Touch on that just as fast as possible. So saw a lot of cool cosplay.
Yeah, we did. Yep. Quite a bit. Got to see a Dr. Doom, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, Dr. Doom is pretty cool. And I actually dipped my toe in cosplay. It was cool. It was fun. It was all right. Day one, it was all right. It was meh. The attention, like, I guess I assumed that there would be attention with it, and there was, and that makes sense.
Was that your Bucky costume?
Yeah, yeah, I was Bucky, Winter Soldier, from Civil War. It's just the red shirt and the good old arm thing. And I'm not that crafty, so I'm one of those guys that cosplayers don't like that just bought it online.
Yeah, it's all good.
But still, it was a hefty sum of money.
Stepping stones, baby
yes.
steps.
Yes, absolutely.
Baby steps.
So, day one, it was okay, because I went for 2 days to Fantastic Con here in Fort Wayne. But day two, I liked it a lot better, so I think I might do it again. Not necessarily Bucky, I might do some changes here. But we'll see what happens for the next Comic-Con I go to. But the biggest thing for me was actually the kids. It was really cool to see the reaction. Like, they're like, that's Bucky, and blah, 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 that's Winter Soldier. And they're like coming up to me, can I have a picture with you? And that made it worth it. Like, you know, beforehand, there were people making jokes about plums, and I'm like, I don't know what to say, because Bucky really doesn't say much. Like, so I don't know. There wasn't like a witty response that I had. So I was just like, yep, yeah, hi. Yeah, you got it. Like, so it was just kind of awkward with that. But yeah, I would say the kids made it worth it, because they were excited, they were happy, and it was cool to see that. But yeah, this is like a little Captain America, and he's like, can I have a picture with you? And I was like, yeah, sure, man. And he was all excited. So that was cool. That made it worth it. So kids get into comic books and stuff. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is, because it keeps it going.
Yes, the next generation. So yeah, I really liked it. I've been to a few Comic Cons now and other gaming conventions, and I would say it's sad to say, I guess, a little bit. No offense to any artists or writers and comic book enthusiasts that are out there or vendors, but this is probably the first Comic Con that I went to that I left on day two and day one, and was thinking, I don't fully regret not spending any money on it besides the entry fee. There was some cool stuff, but like, I'm really picky with my art right now because I have a lot of it. Been to different Comic Cons and buy a bunch of stuff. So I'm kind of picky with what kind of art that I want to hang up, because I don't want to just buy it and just chuck it somewhere. I actually want to hang it up. I want to display it. And
you got to have a place to put it.
Yeah, I got a place to put it.
I have no more place to put it.
Yeah, so real estate in my office, man cave, Fortress of Solitude, den thing, it's the real estate in there. It's slim picking, so I have to be picky about it. So I was okay with leaving and not buying anything. You know, I think it's okay. Like, sometimes I went to a comic con, I'm like, I want to spend more money. I want to buy this and that. This one wasn't that much, which is okay. Like, especially for my wallet. My wallet was okay with it. And my wife. So, but yeah, besides that, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Still a great time. Glad to see all the artists come out there. And, I think it was very beneficial for them. And I hope that they do it again next year, bigger and better.
I agree. I had a nice time. I just went for the first day there on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the only thing I bought was a Doctor Doom action figure. Just
cool looking.
Yeah. And I think a bookmark. A Doctor Doom bookmark.
Yes, yes. A metal bookmark, which looks pretty cool.
And I have decided that I'm going to make my own Doctor Doom outfit.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I guess I have to do another one. So maybe, because I was actually talking with a friend of mine, if I do one, I'll actually be Black Adam. That'd be a cool one to do. So we can both be villains. Granted, Marvel and DC, but villains nonetheless. I think it'd be fun to do.
Villains should team up every once in a while.
Yeah, especially Doctor Doom and Black Adam. That would be bad. That'd be real bad. Lots of magic involved. So, that'd be a bad team up in a good way. Like, I don't know who could take them down if they did team up. But
that's all I got for the Comic Cons.
Yeah, that's all I got as well. Kind of, I think I covered everything with it. Yes, social media things. iTunes. We're on Blueberry now.
Yes, Blueberry.
Blueberry, not BlackBerry. If you have a BlackBerry, look us up. Maybe there's an app for us there. But we're on Blueberry.
Yep. Podomatic, Facebook. Can you mention that?
Yeah. Facebook. Yeah. Yeah. We have a website. It's there. Stay tuned with the website. Keep it saved as a bookmark. And yeah, it's working.
Hopefully, this one of the things will slow down a little bit. We can put some more attention to our social media.
Yes. Bookmarks. Absolutely. Yeah. Because I do some sharing and whatnot. I make sure to share YouTube trailers and all that good stuff, fun stuff that's coming out. Any big, huge comic news and stuff. So yeah, Facebook, give us a like, follow, check us on our iTunes, share us. Please tell all your friends and family about us. Email. We have email as well, of course. AllAccessNerds@gmail.com. Yep. On all platforms, we are All Access Nerds.
Yep. So, yeah, emails. We still have a couple contests out there.
Yes. Check out everybody. If you are listening to this, go back through our archive, and there was a contest. There were two contests. Two contests that are out there, and they're still open, still available, still to win awesome prizes. We're not just pulling your leg. There are some pretty cool prizes. Free stuff. Who doesn't like free stuff?
Won't cost you anything. Might even charge shipping.
Nope. It's all free. So just do the contest. Email us or Facebook us, message us, whatever you want to do, and that way we can get the answer for those contests. And actually, honestly, I don't even think they're the biggest, hardest contests ever.
Nope.
Chances are you could just Google the answer, and that'll be fine.
One's a Doctor Who question.
Yes.
The other one is a science question.
Yes. Yeah. So they're still out there. If you're like, I don't know if I want to do this, yes, you should do it. But, yep, that's all we got for episode 18, issue 18 of All Access Nerds.
Well, this is Nick signing off for Ryan. Go forth and do great things.